So it's a Duncan relay.
So that they would float down and blow up pontoon bridges that would go across. So, as I say, on the right flank where the Jewish Brigade had been, they'd dug their Vickers in as support, to support their attack across, and their Vickers stopped behind on the same programme of firing at anything in the river. And a Vickers supposed to let off in bursts, short bursts of five rounds sort of illness, that there were quite a few corps coming down river, and these were virtually putting belt loads into the one bloody corpse, you know, their hatred of the German troops. Most of them could speak good English. I don't know why. Or those that we spoke to, anyway, you know. So we stopped there about a week doing that, and moved across the river and deployed on the Adige, the River Adige, which was about 8 miles away, I think, something like that, to do this, had the same programme, firing at anything in the river. it was here that it came over, in fact, there was no signs of any enemy, anything like that at all. We knew that they were way up north. And we were just now on the Swan, sat there firing at anything coming, and there was nothing coming down the Adige River anyway, so we just deployed there, and we were on the northern bank. We crossed over to the northern bank. The officer that was quite understanding. He'd got into an house not far from the river, about 20 yards down from the river, got in with this Italian woman. So he's quite prepared to sit the war out there, as we were by now. And there was a farmhouse about a quarter mile away from where we had our guns, and we got over there, Brad and I, got well tanked up on vermouth. The old farmer had a supply of vermouth, we'd gone to bed in the farmer's bed, in actual fact. It was so sloshed. Sometime about 3 o'clock in the morning, this Italian farmer's shaking us like hell. Inglese soldato, Inglese soldato. La guerra finito. He got it on his radio that the war was over. So that finished the campaign there. And we had about a month there, just sat there, this officer, before I suppose he thought at the time he had to rejoin the unit. He must have been in contact. We weren't in contact with our unit, but he assembled this day and said, well, you know, you're going back to your units. He said 214 battery. He said you're at your units at a place called Collignano. And he said that's just up past Venice, or Mestre. I said, you report back there. So the three of us just made our own way in our own truck back and joined the unit at Collignano. The BHQ there at Collignano reported to the BSM. he said, yeah, fair enough. He said, well, he said, the picture is, he said, what now happened? He said, we've split up. He said the battery split up all over northern Italy here on traffic control. He said our troop, your troop, he said they were between here and can't think of the place now, on the Austrian border, somewhere on the Austrian border. So he said
Bolzano.
But no, God. No, I can't think of it.
The Brenner?
No. Oh.
Trieste?
No, inland from Trieste. But they were actually going towards Trieste, yeah. They had sections 8 from Trieste. Oh, the next big place there, from Trieste inwards.
Never mind.
No. So we said, well, what do? And he said, well, we've got motorbikes, those who can drive motorbikes are employed on motorbikes, you know. And I had done a Don Ayres course way back in England at Blandford, you know. So he said, he knew I had, you know. He said, you, for one, you'll have a motorbike. He said, we'll issue you one in a minute. And he said, you'll go from Cordropa. He said, Keith Peters, that was the sergeant on you. He said, he's at Cordropa. Give me the reference point and all that, where he was, this house, like, you know. He said, there's 10 of them up there. You'll go and join him. And so that day I went up to this famous place where this Keith Peters was, and there was 10 of them. And wherever, like just outside of Cordropa, a bridge had been blown, so there was a diversion for traffic. They'd have those, not blokes who couldn't ride motorbikes, they'd be put on these diversions, guiding the traffic around as sentries. Us on motorbikes, there was a ruling that no military vehicle could carry a civilian in it. So if we saw a truck, we were supposed to wag them down and take the details of them and turf the Italian out, you know, and take the details of them and report them. And that's about all we could do, really, because, I mean, there's no such thing as speeding or anything, you know. But if we saw someone broken down, we'd pull up and try and help them. It's traffic control, keep traffic moving. So it became a... a life of ease.
Did you get a posting later into Austria? Did you actually go into Austria itself?
Not to stop. It was in the July. I had to go back to a place near Rovigo. And on the way back from Rovigo, this is about 60 miles away from where we were, at Mestre, on the way back, we had a chap on traffic control at Mestre, a big bridge there, where it's the junction from going over to Venice. And he was on traffic control, and I was on the bike, and I pulled up alongside of him, and goggles on, you know, and that, and jokingly kicked him up the bottom. And he turned round, and when I pulled my goggles down, he saw who I was, you know. Oh, he said, you jammy bastard. I said, jammy bastard, what are you on about? He said, you're going on leave. I said, leave? What are you talking about, leave? You're going on, your name's come out the barrel for leave. And they'd started just after Rome. They'd started they'd invaded they did the invasion of southern France. The Yanks invaded southern France, and they had a clear route up through Paris up to the Channel ports. They started this leave system for going home to UK leave. I don't know if you are aware of it, but there was Python. That was the tour that you did overseas, remember it?
Yes.
Python, which is 7 years. You had to be over 7 years overseas before you could qualify for a leave in UK. Then they brought this in, leave in advance of Python, a month's leave. And in our case, we had three batteries in the regiment with RHQ, and four men from the regiment could go on leave each month for a month. And they had the system, they had these barrels up at BHQ whereby they did a draw. One from RHQ could go, then one from each of the battery. So each month they'd turn the old, what's called, pull the names out of the person in the battery who would go on leave for the month. So Martin was one, this is what he meant by being the German bastard that I was going on leave. But by now, they considered opening up a route up through Austria home, instead of going back and catching a boat across to southern France and then going up that way. They run the leave through the rail system from Milan up through that way, and then open this other. Going to open up this other route to Calais through Austria, Germany, and France. And I happened to be on the first lot that was going through this route. And what they'd done, they'd sent each of the famous divisions of the 8th Army, the 7th Army Div, it went to Villach in Austria, and it opened this staging hotel up, whereby you drove up from Mestre, as the place I was trying to think of, Mestre, up to Villach, and then spent the night there. Next day you went on to Metz, Sedan, and then Calais. And each of these divisions had one of these staging posts. And they they literally tried to outdo each other in their hospitality. You had German waitresses. They got waitresses and you sat down. They really, you know, really making a big thing of it. So I went on this. Now, the young lady I've met in Blandford camp as an ATS girl, we'd corresponded all this time. She'd gone from ACAC sites in England to when they crossed into Belgium. She went over there with an ACAC unit, and she'd finished up in Brussels. And every staging stop I got to, I got all of the padre. They had a padre at each of these, so for any welfare cases, you could get the old padre. And wherever I stopped, I got the padre and sent a wire to her that I was going home on leave. Could she get leave, you know? So finally, I got to Calais, and I went to find the padre there, and Calais wasn't one of our Roscoe's. It was the staging place anyway, you know, the BACRR staging place. So when I went to their HQ to try and find the padre, there was a sergeant, signal sergeant, in his office, and he said, "What do you want the padre for?" So I said, "Well, you know," and he was an ex-8th Army bloke who had gone home and come in the invasion. So I said, "Well, I want to get him to get a wire off to my girl in Brussels." So he said, "What do you mean your girl?" "It's my girlfriend, my fiance." So he said, "Boy, where is she stationed in Brussels?" I said, "Yeah." So he said, "What unit?" So I said, "Well, what's all this for?" He said, "What unit? Tell me what unit." So I told him. He said, "Hang on a minute." Goes into this room, comes out. He said, "Come in with me." So he'd actually got onto her unit and got her on the phone for me. Told her she'd got these wires, you see, and she said, "Yeah, I'm coming on, I'm flying home tomorrow." So she said, "We're getting married on the 9th of August, I suppose." And she'd written to her mother down in Bristol and got her to make arrangements for a wedding. I come home and say, got married and had a nice month's leave and then back to Italy. Yeah, so on my return to Italy, we'd they'd sent almost all the regiment home on leave, so that when I got back to the unit, there was only a small holding force left, and I reported back to him at Mestre, where the HQ was. And then within a month or so, they all came back. from leave, and we were still on these police duties. They'd now adopted a demob scheme whereby different groups, those who'd been in the longest and were the oldest, were being demobilised. So gradually, over a period of a few months, the battery ran down to quite only a few left in it. Well, I'll say a few, something like about 100. And then group 30 had been, not group 30, group 28. I was group 28. They put you in a grouping of when you would be demobbed. And when it got to group 26, we were so low in number, they broke the unit up. And they gave us an option of either going to the infantry or going back to Rome to the military police depot to do a three-month course and then posted out as garrison police. This is what I opted for. I didn't fancy the infantry. There's about 60 of us went back to Rome and did a three-month course in the military police depot. At the completion of which, I was posted to Venice.
As an MP?
Yeah, garrison police. We had stiff forage caps with green tops on them instead of red tops. We still kept our artillery badges and things like that. And of course, at this stage of the game, everyone was demob happy, wanted to get home and get away, you know, get out of it. They'd had enough and wanted to get back in the civvy street.
Are we in 46 now?
Yes, 46. Yeah, 46. Yeah, January 46 now. As I say, there were six of us finished up in Venice. There was already a Lloyd Ack unit that were there carrying out these duties. So we joined them. I think it was the 17th Lloyd Ack unit. Our duties were street patrols, brothel patrols, mobile launch patrol, out to the boats, things like this. We had a sergeant, military police, in charge of the section, and we all came under him.
What instructions did you have with regarding patrolling brothels and so on?
Start this 3 month course, we had traffic control. That was amusing. Take you down in the middle of bloody Rome, traffic point. God, in the traffic there, you know, quite epic. the brothels were out of bounds to troops. They were out of bounds troops. So you patrolled them, and anyone you found in them, you turfed them out and took their particulars, and charge sheet went through that they were out of bounds. You didn't arrest them, you just turfed them out the brothel.
Did many of them break the bounds?
Yeah. It's understandable, isn't it? Because something like a dozen brothels in Venice. Official Italian brothels, you know, under the state control. when we reported in to this sergeant at the section in Venice, was right in Venice, under jars from San Marco Square, the billet was. He went down the list, you know, and he said, as I said, everyone was demob happy, see? And so he said, who's Bombardier Duncan? So I said, I am, you know. He said, well, go back up the steps, he said, then turn sharp left and down the steps again. It was two Aussies in one sort of business, you know, where the wall had been, a door had been knocked in and the next house. He said, and there's someone there, he said, waiting for you to take over from him. I said, what, take over what? He said, the anti-vice squad. So, you know, went, and it was a bombardier that was in charge of it. And he was waiting because as soon as I took over, he'd go on D-mob. So I said, what's the score, you know? He said, well, open that cabinet there. And it was a double-door cabinet, and I opened it. And it was actually full up with pigeonholes, you know, with photographs in there. He said, take one of them out. So he said, what's that? He said, in there, he said, there's a photograph of every prostitute in Venice working in the brothels. He said, when they arrive, and this was all new to me, and he said, when they arrive, Madame brings them here and registers them. And it's, you know, it's a proper organised thing. They got a circuit of, say, Florence, Rome, Florence, Venice, and Trieste, where you mentioned. And this is the top-class brothels. They spend 3 months in Rome, 3 months in Florence, 3 months in Venice, and the next 3 months they go up to Trieste and have 3 months holiday. And then the other way round, either they went to Florence, Trieste, and they come down to Venice.
So did the British troops resist when you apprehended them in the brothel?
We didn't apprehend them. No way.
But when you told them to leave?
Well, we let them make sure they'd have had their oats before we made them leave. Oh, it's a stupid thing, wasn't it, really? I mean, stupid thing, though, really. That way there was no trouble anyway, you know, if you told them to leave there'd be trouble, so why stick your neck out?
How long were you doing this job in Venice?
Oh, until the June, and I got demobbed.
Now, you were telling me about the possibility of challenging complaints which you're officers made about your character. Can you tell me about that incident?
Yeah. Well, by now, because I got my demob then. I got demobbed. Went back into Civvy Street. But within about 9 months, I think it was, I'd joined the TA, Territorial Army, and got a job with them down in Bristol. I was living in Bristol. And I got a job with them as a limber gunner, civilian limber gunner, and in the TA as well, which I stuck for about 3 years, and then went back into the regular army, and got so well in with the colonel that he got me posted back to the territories at Bristol as a permanent staff instructor. I marched in the Woolwich today as a gunner or a recruit, and eight the next day as a sergeant sort of business, you know. I'm back as a permanent staff instructor because now I'd carried out various courses because of being working for the TA and being in the TA. I was able to take advantage of regular army courses. The unit was to their advantage to send me away on a predictor course and a radar course. And finally, permanent staff instructor's course, whereby you had to be able to do all guns, radar, predictor, instruct on them. and I had another 4 years there with them as a permanent staff instructor before getting posted back to a regular regiment, which was the Lydak Act Regiment in Egypt. This is in 1953 back in Egypt.
What was the name of that regiment?
That's the 80th Lydak Act Regiment. And now, by now in the Canal Zone, they'd had trouble, there was trouble with the Egyptians about abrogating the treaty, leaving Egypt. They were still over. Nasser was by now the power there, and they were wanting the British to get out. In fact, by this stage, the British had withdrawn to the Canal Zone itself during the war. They were all over Egypt, Alexandria, various places throughout Egypt because of the war. But by now, they were drawn just to the restricted Canal Zone anyway. We weren't allowed in Alexandria and places like that, just strictly within the Canal Zone. There's quite a lot of trouble going on. Shootings and rioting and looting, and the regiment was mostly on security detail. In fact, most units were the same there by now. Your guns were down on a gun part, you kept them up together and maintained them, but most of them were out on security details. Young National Service, you know, National Service was now in.
Did you go out on those details yourself?
No, we didn't. Most of the senior NCOs were on guards at different places. Like the, I was at Moasca, and about, that was the biggest garrison in the world at the time, Moasca. But about a mile outside of it was a water plant, the Fisher water plant, where all the water was filtered from the Sweetwater Canal and pumped out the various army stations, water stations, you know. And they would have a sergeant with something like 10 men on it with a perimeter with weapon pits around it, and you'd be on that for a week at a time. And they'd swap you around the Treaty Road. They were only laid down in convoys of three vehicles. Single and two vehicles weren't allowed. At the beginning of the Treaty Road, you had a compound there. You were there for a week. And you'd make sure the vehicles stopped and got in three and went down. You'd be on the blower to tell them down at Fayed that there was a convoy on its way. The ammunition dump, Amper for Dam, that was the biggest ammunition dump in the world. It had a perimeter of 13 miles, around which were various tents with sergeants with, again, a dozen men doing patrols between certain points. So there wasn't a lot of time for artillery work, really. And finally, that would be 55. 55, we did all get out of the Canal Zone. The canal was nationalised. Nasser nationalised it. Our unit used to send up a troop at a time from Egypt up into Jordan, Aqaba, and they'd be up there for 6 months while we were in Egypt. They got by LST. When we left the Canal Zone, the other two batteries in our HQ, they went to Malta. We posted to Malta, and the Aqaba station became a 12-month station. So that at Malta,